America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Does anyone else have weather this nice around Christmas? Nah, and that's why you and I, Lair Adams, live in Central Florida. Oh, and the chance to listen to the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. The stock market busted 18,000 today. Is it a coincidence that our debt is $18 trillion? They both happened around the same time. We got up to 18, so let me get this straight. More debt means a better stock market. Oh, baby, I'm going to use that rationale and spend on my credit cards. I should come out great, right? Our host is better at math than our government. He sees it just doesn't add up. Christopher Hart!
All right. Thanks so much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this Christmas Eve Eve.
Maybe Eva will call us on Eve Eve.
Well, she can if she likes. And anybody else, 407-774-8255 is our number. We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And once again, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. Don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist and friend, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. It has been a beautiful day out there today. We expect a little bit of rain tomorrow, but we will be here doing the show live tomorrow, folks. And we're going to do a little Christmas special. We got a little Reagan lined up for you. We're going to do some readings. I'm going to read some passages from Chris Kyle's book. You know, there's a great movie coming out this weekend called The Sniper, a Clint Eastwood movie about Chris Kyle. I highly suggest you see that movie.
Snubbed by the Oscars.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll be here tomorrow. We, of course, won't be here Christmas Day, but we will be back Friday. Got a big show lined up for you tonight. Got Mike McBath in the studio with us today. Mike's all fired up, ready to go. Hey, Mike.
Always great to be here.
The day before Christmas.
There was a minute, you were just mentioning about the stock market and the national debt. But do you know, actually, our revenues now are the highest they've ever been in history, coming in
tax revenues,
et cetera.
Yeah.
Yet we still will run off close to a half a trillion in debt.
Yeah.
That shows you how massive and irresponsible the spending is, yet we have to lessen our military.
Yeah.
I mean, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to Michael Medved the last couple of days, and on the one hand, I cheer his optimism. We've tried to have that as a theme of this show all along, that don't give up on the American way of life, or excuse me, the American system of governing because of a guy like Barack Obama and the liberals being in charge. Their day has come, and it will pass, and now it has. But the debt is still going up, as Lair said. The deficit is coming down, but the reason the deficit is coming down is, like Mike said, tax revenues are going up. And the budget has been going, quote-unquote, down, according to Michael Medved. Really, the growth of it has been slowed, is all. And mainly, it has come at the expense of, as Mike said, the Defense Department.
Right. And is there anything we need more now? I mean, you look out there, I saw the other day, what's China have? 40 submarines now. You know, and they have absolute great technology stolen from us.
Stolen from us, sure. Of course,
and,
it's great.
You know, it's a case. Can you imagine, is with North Korea, if they got into our grids big time, you know, the devastation it would have caused to this country. And you know you're dealing with a loose nut over there, and then we got a loose nut in our way.
And our retaliation we did yesterday. could put this guy over the edge to actually try to pull some stupid stunt.
No, I mean, envision this, nut versus nut, right? Oh, yeah. And we could be all the victims of these two idiots.
Yeah, absolutely, Will, we already are.
I think it's more like nut versus wimp.
Mr. Geico.
There you go. So we got a lot to talk about with Mike. Nostradamus will be joining us later. And, of course, as I said, you can join us as well at 407-774-8255. Just a reminder, if you need something for that computer person in your family, go to Refresh Computers while it's not too late. David Levitt and the gang over there at Refresh will help you out and fix you up with the best system in town for the best price in town. And there's three locations. One's in the Villages. One's out there by UCF on the southwest corner of Alafaya Trail and University Boulevard. And one's right here in Longwood on State Road 434 between Ronald Reagan and 1792. All right, real quick, I got a bunch of other stuff I want to talk to you about, but since we kind of gone down this road, you were a stockbroker for 38 years, very successful. Is it now time to get out of the market?
You know, I think with everything, it should be based upon your level of risk relative to your age. In other words, should I be fully out of the market? No, probably not. Should I start to take out a little bit? Maybe yes. I mean, the reality is they always say, well, you know, the stock market averaged over 10% for the last 250 billion years. Yeah, I get it.
Right.
Except most people don't get in until it's already up 8 of the 10%, and then they get absolutely waxed. And I would say many of the people, if not a large majority, since the washout in 2008, still aren't in the stock market.
Yeah, they've been reluctant.
And then the other thing that would concern me as an individual, I'm certainly not giving advice to anybody in this aspect, is I still am trying to figure out where Twitter and all these different groups make, you know, and I understand advertising and all that, but a lot of these companies, you see zero earnings. And unfortunately, when you've been around a long time, you have a long memory, and boy, I saw what happened in the year 2000 and so when the tech stocks absolutely crashed in like 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, like everything, you got to be judicious in what you do.
Yeah. Real quickly, we got a call Sunday night from Marty, one of our listeners, and she asked, she didn't want to go on the air, but she asked the question, why are the Saudi Arabians keeping the price of oil so low? My response was basically they want to run our oil companies out of business. I'm not talking about Exxon and BP, but the lower level oil, the energy companies that have been drilling like mad in the Bakken and these other shale regions of the country.
Well, I think the point you say there, I think their production cost is as low as like $4.
For the Saudi Arabians,
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
However, the other side of it is, you know, you really could have world upheaval if it went too low, because it'll absolutely annihilate Russia, and it's certainly going to cause a lot of major problems to the budgets of all the Middle East countries.
I
hate to see that happen.
Yeah.
But but like you said, I mean, it's not like, geez, I want it to go to a dollar. No, I think we need a reasonable settling point. And I think right now we're
sort of finding
for
that
a while.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. By the way, it was funny to see, what was it, last Friday when Mr. O had his final news conference of the year, and he was patting himself on the back and the excessive, you know, celebration and everything, as you called it. But one of the things he was talking about was how Russia's in a pinch right now. And they're in a pinch, not because of the sanctions that he did because of the Ukraine, but because of the price of oil.
Right. Yep. I mean, it has nothing to do with the sanctions.
No, of course, they're blaming the U.S.
His one really foreign policy achievement, if you want to call it that, is not due to anything he did. It's due to oil drillers across the country, you know, who are providing him with a whole new way of economic reality, I guess is what I'm saying.
Imagine, too, and that's without opening up government lands, which harbor massive amount of oil reserves.
And he just closed off a bunch more up there in Alaska.
And you know, guys, he's definitely going to take credit for it, the oil being down and gas being down.
Oh, absolutely. All right, let's go to David. He's on the line. David, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, good being with you, Chris. You know, I just wanted to follow up with a comment just because I know you have so many veterans that are listeners and other people. But Mike's comment about and your follow up about defense spending cuts and the Obama administration putting that on the military. You know, the president's budget for this fiscal year and next fiscal year brings the size of our land armies, the U.S. Army and the Marine Corps, to below pre-World War II level. But what's more scary is that this man man in the White House has us on path as he brings our Navy down to below pre-World War I level. And that's going to make we'll have an inability to project our power globally, and that we'll no longer be a superpower.
Yeah,
I think that's his goal.
I mean, think about it, too, is like, as I say, China is now launching their aircraft carriers. And everything that they launch, whether it's ships, submarines, aircraft carriers, are very sound technologically. And it's just a case that I'm just so concerned we fall behind there because, hey, since time began, one group, sadly enough, will ultimately destroy another group. And the only thing they learn to respect is power. Sorry, Mr. Obama. That's the deal, buddy. You know, it's not like we look and kiss each other. Doesn't work that way. You know, so I'm scared to death, too, for our children.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the economic numbers, we all welcome them, but at what cost is what we must ask.
Well, you're talking about our survival, too, guys.
Yeah.
Our very survival.
Yeah.
Technology and warfare, I mean, that's, in essence, whoever has the most sound program in weapons is going to be usually
all. Well, that's when he falls back on. We don't need ships. We're so great now with our. We don't need ships.
David, we got to go to a break, but did you want to follow on with anything?
Well, isn't it amazing how much those new Chinese fighters look a lot like
I know.
Our
isn't that there? Disgusting? They look yes. Sort of like ours, don't they?
Yeah, indeed they do. Indeed they do. Thank you, Bill Clinton, for that, right, David? Hey, David, thanks a lot. We appreciate you being out there. We'll be talking to you real soon.
Yeah, and North Korea, too.
All right. And I hope David joins the American Adversaries Army along with you folks. We've already got some recruits, folks, and I'll announce our official winner from last night from the grand opening, if you will, of our recruiting office.
Our GO.
So stick around for that and a whole lot more with Mike McBath and us guys.
I'll be home for Christmas.
For Christmas.
You can count on me. Have snow and mistletoe and presents round the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
All right. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. We got old Bang Crosby in the studio.
crooning Mike McBath.
Swinging guy.
That's right. Welcome back. That's right.
His albums be on sale here at the station.
That was Mike McBath, and he's got a great story to go with that, which we're going to get to right here next. But we'd love to hear from you, too, on this Christmas Eve, December 23rd, 407-774-8255. Real quickly, though, congratulations to Diane. Diane of Apopka is our official winner from last night, and she's the firstest. Yes, she will be going to after the official grand opening. She will be going to Cafe Positano. She and someone of her choice, I think I know who it is, and have dinner with us, drinks and food, and so we look forward to that. So, but it's never going to be too late to sign up for the American Adversaries Army because the recruiting office is open. It will be open 24/7, 365 and one quarter days a year,
just like Santa.
That's right. So please put it on your list of things to do either before, during, or after the holidays. Go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. It's real simple to enlist. You'll see the enlist banner. Just click on that and it'll walk right through it. And then we'll have also the homepage. Our first newsletter comes out January 10th, in which we'll have bios of all of us guys, including an amazing one of Mike McBath. And so please do join up and ask your friends and family to do so as well.
He tries to tell you he was born in a manger, but don't believe it.
Rumor,
right?
Sunday night we did a little thing where during the bumps, the intro and the exit, the music during our show segments, We Nostradamus and Johnny Guns had the idea to get with everybody who's involved with the show and find out what's their favorite Christmas song, and we would play it for one of the bumps. And Mike's was "I'll Be Home for Christmas," and that was because.
Well, this is going to be reflect back. I played with Joe Paterno; he was the head coach at Penn State for my junior and senior year. And what happened was that Penn State had been invited to play in the Gator Bowl. This was long ago, I think it was 1967.
When the Gator Bowl was a big deal.
It was probably the fourth or fifth biggest bowl.
Yeah, played on New Year's Day, not like today where you got like 50 million bowls.
30, bowl 40 bowls, the Biflo Bowl, you know, the Macaroni Bowl, who knows?
Bovita Bowl.
But as you know, this was extremely prestigious at the time. And Joe, this was his second year, and it's a pretty precarious position for a coach. And the first thing he did wrong is he left the vote up to the players. He said, I'm going to leave it up to you. If you want to, you know, give up your Christmas vacation and play in a bowl game thinking, you know, they all vote to go, right?
Sure.
The well, we
bowl.
Took the vote, and guess what? 100% we don't want to go.
Now, unanimous no.
I know. So right now we learn what a coach is there for. He comes steaming out of the locker room. He goes, I got to tell you, there's only one coach here, and he's going to make the decision. There's one vote. We're gone. Okay, coach, we're gone. Well, then his next situation was he was concerned about the homesickness. You know, these kids hadn't been away and everything. So what I decided to do on Christmas morning, you know, knowing the emotional state of many of our players, right before breakfast and the coach got into the dining area, I got up and sang, I'll be home for Christmas, right? Well, here comes Joe walking right into the dining hall, and all the guys are rolling on the ground laughing, and he starts screaming at me. He said, that's not very funny. Sit down in your chair. Oh, boy.
You know. Yeah, but I bet he went back later on and told my assistant coach,
did you see that, McBath? Yeah. That's what I'm looking for out of a player. That's what I want. What a spirit.
But I will tell you, though, a sad note.
What a great coach he was.
As it was in the paper just the other day, this would have been, his birthday would have been, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, it'd have been 88. And again, this was another man, another great, great individual. I probably, of all the people I've ever known in my life, I'd rank him number one for principal, high quality. And he was a guy who believed, they used to call it the grand experiment, that you can play college football with real college students. And I know in my graduating class, out of 24, we had 21 with graduate degrees. And that's what Joe was all about. And many people and universities resented that. And, you know, they really falsified and hung this guy. They had no information. Now, the good news is, you know, the Paterno case continues on in the courts. And believe me, when this is resolved, I can't wait to report it all. I know a lot that a lot of people aren't aware of, but, oh, boy. This guy, this was just so disgusting. But we know how the media is. If you're a good guy and you do great things for people, time to destroy you, right?
Yeah, and of course you had the school officials who were looking for cover, too, anywhere they could find it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just was so out of character for Joe Paterno because he was, I mean, he was, when you talked about the academic record of his players, that was, his focus was, I remember seeing a special on him one time, mm-hmm. It might have been 60 Minutes or something,
right.
And he was more focused on making men out of young men than he was making, you know, football players out of you.
Well, I can always remember, even in this race issue, you know, my question always on race, is it crime, is it race, right? That's what's going on today. Well,
yeah.
What is it? But Joe would always point out when in the initial stage of a team getting together, you mm-hmm. know, September 1st, which was the first practice date, he said, first of all, he said, I don't like to see the blacks or the whites, you know, separated in different corners. He said, I want you guys to understand real quickly, everybody in this locker room is green, and I'm going to treat you equally horrible. So you understand how
yeah.
it is.
Equally
he
bad,
said,
yeah.
In society, we all got to get along, and on this team, we're all getting along, and there's going to be no exceptions. And he used to always say, you know, every time Penn State would go on any type of trip or anything, you would always see, not like member of the University of Miami,
yeah,
the Penn State kids would be with their suit and their tie,
right.
And his sole statement was, I have an obligation to get you a job. That's my duty. And you're going to learn to speak well, act well, and, you know, be proud of your university. So,
how many,
great, great man.
How many national championships did he have at Penn State? It was a couple or three, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had either two or three, but he had a couple times. Remember the time when Tricky Dickey jumped in, and I think we'd have been a national champ, and then Tricky Dickey announces that Texas gets it, and then we get shafted, and I think we become number two. But I'd have to have a Nostradamus check that on fact check.
Okay. All right.
Well, he knows all anyway.
Oh, yeah. He knows all. All-knowing.
Yeah. Well, when Coach Paterno finally passed away, what were your thoughts at that time?
Well, again, you just hate to see what's going on in our society in general. And I really looked at this guy as always, as not only a friend in the long term, and He was a very difficult man because he was so tough on these kids, which is exactly how I believe things should be. Yeah. You know, this idea, oh, you can't speak too loudly. You can't make sure he has self-esteem. How about earning self-esteem? And when I yell at you, it's because you did something wrong. And we don't make excuses on the field. You know, and all those things carry through in life. And for the people who had the right perception and everything, life's been pretty good. Most of his graduates have done very well in society. But, I mean, just to see the way the media destroyed an individual that was such a high-principled man makes you sick.
Very similar to how the military puts out good men.
All right, I agree.
Okay. All right, folks, we got a lot more to go. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com, where they wish you a happy Hanukkah and a very Merry Christmas. Also, this is brand new stuff today. You'll find a picture of Bill Clinton and... no, not Hillary, but it is a blonde. Maybe you've seen it. It's gone viral. But you can find that story today at soundbiterx.com. Even though it is kind of old news in a way, right? All right, this too, the truth about IRS targeting. That's right. It's a whole mindset over at the IRS, and you can find out what it is all about at soundbiterx.com. Yes. The economy, it seems to be turning around, but it's always been good for one group of people. Who are they? Obama donors, and they're still getting perks from the Obama administration. You'll find out what that's all about at soundbiterx.com. You'll also find a story that if you've been listening to the American Adversaries, you're going to say, hey, I heard Chris Hart talking about that on the American Adversaries. Only this is about Rush Limbaugh talking about the president and having warned you, although Rush has been at it a lot longer than I, and the warnings have come thick and steady from the big guy. Also this, right from the American Adversaries rhetoric, the very word I've been using since the day after the election, you'll find a story about the, that's right, liberation of Barack Obama. At least that's the way Barack Obama sees it. But you can see that and a whole lot more at soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, I hope you're ready for Christmas. I know I am. And if you are celebrating Hanukkah, happy last evening of Hanukkah. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams and Mike McBath, union boss, in the studio with us tonight. And I mean that literally. Nostra Dennis is going to join us in a moment, but you can be on the show as well. 407-774-8255. Yeah, in the previous segment, we were talking about Joe Paterno. Mike, of course, played as he was a Nittany Lion, defensive line, and then he was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. But then he, later on in life, became the owner of the Orlando Predators. He brought him to town, he and Davey Johnson and I
call him named Tracy Allen.
Tracy Allen, yeah. And he subsequently had sold the team a good while back, but not before they had great success at the arena downtown. I remember, you know, the games there. It was an event. It wasn't so much as a football game as it was an event, and you just wanted to be there, and it was cool, and there were fireworks. And I loved after the pyrotechnics. For the rest of the game, there was like a haze. But it was
purple haze.
But it was perfect because it added to the ambiance of the game with the lighting and the music and in the jungle theme. It was absolutely perfect.
And you know what's funny is too is the Magic actually tried to pick up after us, you know, because they didn't do any type of preliminary show like we did. Nothing.
Yeah, real simple.
And I still laugh about the fact that we sold out many, many games, and then their people would be sitting in the stands looking at us. Boy, they were so upset that we could do this on a sport that no one ever heard of.
Green with
and paying our guys $250 a game, and they're paying theirs $25,000 a game. I said somebody has it backwards. You know, we'll see.
Well, you certainly had it figured out then. But I want to jump forward now because the Predators coach recently was arrested. and it was domestic violence. And now it hasn't gotten a lot of play in the media here, but this is a situation where it could have gotten out of hand, like the Joe Paterno thing, like the thing with the police officers in New York, where the media just whips people into a frenzy. But it turns out there's a story that appeared in the back page of the sports section of the Orlando Sentinel today.
Oh, the back page.
Yeah. Where the girlfriend.
What a surprise.
The girlfriend who... When this first broke, I read the article in the Sentinel, and she said at that time she had no intention of pressing charges. Now she goes further to say that she falsely accused Coach Keefe of domestic violence, and it evidently has told the police that she also once did that to her father.
Accused him.
Yeah. Now this didn't really get too far along, if you will, in the media frenzy. Do you think that the coach is safe?
Or do you think he should? I mean, if I had a vote on this, I would definitely make sure he's safe. I mean, the reality of it is this false accusation that goes on in our society, where then, you know, there's a media frenzy that jumps around it, and then, you know, 2-3 months down the road, you go, oh, well, it really didn't count. It never happened. Well, you know, imagine what this does to the coaches. You know, his, like, he was suspended with pay. Well, you know, I mean, imagine his psychic, his personal feelings towards, you know, what took place. I mean, this is just horrible.
He was violated.
I know. Considering what goes on, I mean, here's
his
a
reputation.
Guy in a political correct atmosphere that even though we know he's innocent, 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 they stated it, I'm sure will it have some effect possibly upon advertising sales and things of that nature. There'll always be somebody there going, wasn't that the perverted coach that did this or that? Isn't that terrible? I mean, just it is so unfair to do that to, you know, our citizenry. And that, again, is a product of the media and the legal profession. The legal profession, believe me, you know, every time somebody accuses somebody, get ready the law papers, and we're making money preparing them. We're making money ending them. We're making money everywhere. I mean, even think of Crosby. Obviously, he's not a cherub. We all know that. But I wonder, out of, I guess, 30-plus women, you know, was it 30 or was it 3?
Or was it any?
Yeah, and has anybody ever heard of a story called The Scarlet Letter? Because that's what the media is doing. They are putting the letter on people.
Yeah, and, right. Well, at least in that story, I think she did something. But yeah. The same situation with Jameis Winston up at FSU. He's finally been quote-unquote cleared, at least now for the time being. But in essence, and I thought there was an article on the front of, I believe it was today's or yesterday's sports section, where the columnist said, you know, this should be no surprise because there's been nothing new in this case from what we knew 2 or 3 years ago when this first broke. And once again, though, he's been put through the ringer. There's been all this speculation in the media, and it's affected his performance on the field. May have affected his ability
in the classroom, his ability to perform in the classroom, his personality, everything.
Yeah. So, you got the people like Al Sharpton who just get away with it time and time again.
I mean, when you look at Al Sharpton, I mean, I think of Bozo the Clown. I mean, I really do, because I ask myself a question.
Sideways, yeah.
You know, how could a corporation like Sony accept they're getting what they deserve? I love it because, you know, she's a liberal leftist that runs it, right? Well,
CEO.
He's going to help them. Pick talent. Oh, boy, he really knows what he's doing. What is he going to play, Bozo the Clown?
And what's Barack doing, going to him for advice about black-white relations?
That? Here is a convict. He should be taken and put in jail. And I don't understand why these people that are protesting, you know, having their little sayings, why don't they go like this? Tax cheat, throw in jail. Tax cheat, throw in jail. I don't get it. I mean, this is insane.
It is indeed. Well, let's ask Nostradamus, because he has a story about the IRS. Would he be on their radar, Nostradamus?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you guys, in the first half of the show, you were talking about the fact that Kim Jong-un is just nuts. Obama is just nuts. The only consolation is I think our nuts are bigger than their nuts.
For now, anyway.
Well, squirreled that one away, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Kim, it turns out I guess the interview is going to open in some theaters nationwide.
Christmas Day.
Yeah, Christmas Day. Any word of any here in the Central Florida area?
Well, here's how far you have to go. At the top of the hour news, you may have heard Mick Dolan say that Jacksonville is the closest place you can find it. As soon as I heard that, I went and scoured every Movie Times page in Jacksonville Cinema. Cinemark is up there, AMC is up there, a lot of the big ones are up there. So far, none of them have included times for Christmas Day. That doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means they haven't yet had the chance to update their website.
And
the big chains are, there's a chain in San Antonio called the Alamo Draft House that operates a bunch of theaters around San Antonio.
Yeah,
they're based in Austin, Texas. And a theater in Atlanta called the Plaza Theater Chain. They both say they're going to be showing the film. Again, don't have any time, so you'll just have to go up there, drive around San Antonio, Atlanta, or Jacksonville, and look for the marquee.
All right. Or listen to us tomorrow night, and if we hear of any that are going to be here in Central Florida, we'll certainly let you know about that.
Yeah, we sure will. Sure will.
Yeah. Real quickly, Nostradamus, the story about the IRS, the latest IRS thing, I want to go there just for a minute because I think it says something bigger than what the story has to offer on its face value.
Yeah, there's a lot of points to this story. It's a committee report. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee released a report that definitively proves malicious intent by the IRS to improperly block conservative groups that one IRS advisor deemed icky. That's right. He used the word icky. So far, Icky Woods of the Cincinnati Bengals has not commented on that.
Oh. Well, what is the bigger point that I see in this is it's the mindset at the IRS because as part of this, the report, it said that there was no direct contact from the White House basically telling these people at the IRS to do that. To me, that's even more damning. That's more scary, if you will. I would rather have the people at the IRS just basically be good people doing their job, being impartial, having to be told to be, you know, underhanded, rather than taking it upon their own initiative to do so, because there's a lot of them who are still there.
Well, Chris, I just saw that recently, that they're talking about the emails, and still, of the new ones they found, only about 1% have been read. Are they slow readers up there? Send me up. I'm ready to go.
Well, there's so many redactions to them, too. I mean, really, they're blanked out like the Watergate, you know, tapes.
But you catch my drift here, Nostradamus? It would almost be, to me, more comforting if the White House had been ordering these people to do this rather than that's just what they do on their own.
Right. In fact, they've, I guess, become conditioned that this is the way we ought to do things just because of the environment that's been created. And it says, one of these points says that IRS people who were reviewing applications from 501c4s said, the quote, normal C4 cases, we have to realize, have to do with social welfare, community newspapers, or the poor. These Tea Party types, well, they're talking about limiting government role and reducing government size. I think that's different from the other C4s. So basically, they're having IRS employees interpreting the law.
That seems to be going on more and more these days. I mean, you are in the financial industry with the new Dodd-Frank regulations. Now, you're retired now, but is the nature of the financial industry changing because of the new regulations?
Well, I think, again, I mean, they have so many regulations. I wonder, honestly, how many active brokers know every specific regulation there is out there.
Right.
That's the problem with business in general today. I don't care if it's the finance business, the restaurant business. We are so overregulated. I would bet that just about everybody in every restaurant at some point during the day violates, you know, a law.
Yeah.
And that's why when we get these people in there, we should be very proud of removing one law after another, not adding laws. Stop.
That's a good idea. we should be electing people on promises to do away with laws, not to enact a whole bunch of new ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'll promise if you elect me, I'll reduce at least by 1,000 laws, and let me just start moving.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't, you know, we're making the right moves.
And we can start with Obamacare. Yeah. That's where we could start. Speaking of Obamacare, I haven't noticed a whole lot of concussions this year in football. Is it just me, or do you think concussions are down this year in football?
It's Obamacare. That's what stopped the concussions.
Well, actually, it's because of the new tackling rules.
Well, I think number one, certainly the referees in the NFL have certainly been warned that we don't want any headshots to the quarterbacks, obviously the receivers crossing the field, and we want to eliminate the much of the headbutt as possible. So I think you actually have seen less concussions on the field than you have in the past, just because everybody's certainly aware of the consequences of this type of play. So I think you're right. We have seen less of that, and I think it'll make the sport safer. And also in college, you're seeing the refs where you find somebody as a headhunter or somebody smashing a quarterback in the head with his helmet, they're going to be penalized, and certainly the coach is going to take it out on the player. So the reality of it is, yeah, I think we have seen less. And I do think some of these rules have really had some major benefits to the game.
Have those rules filtered down to the Pop Warner level?
I would say yes. I mean, we have a lot of initiatives, and particularly the NFL out of New York. And I'm not saying the Player Association out of Washington, but the NFL out of New York is trying to get as much instruction, you know, to your youth coaches about physical contact in the sport of football. But one of the things, though, and I haven't seen this mentioned, it always used to scare me, when these kids are out that are 10, 11, 12, you know, wearing heavy equipment, they're going full speed and it's 100 degrees out. I was as much concerned about kids, you know, dying.
Heat prostation.
Yeah, from heat prostation and anything else.
Yeah.
And they don't talk about that, where I think that's as big a problem potentially as anything out there.
Well, certainly that's what causes most deaths in football, in college and high school football, is it usually happens in the practices, not on the field. Nostradamus, do you have a story about the Penn State when they were denied the national championship?
And I'm sure, Mike, you recall some of the details on this. Back in 1968, Penn State was undefeated, won the national championship, no question about it. In 1969, they were also undefeated. They'd had something like 22 consecutive wins in a row. Here's the problem. President Nixon decided he was going to go watch the Texas-Arkansas game, and he declared whoever won that game was going to end up number one in the nation. Back then, there was no such thing as a championship game. There wasn't any kind of a playoff, and so after Texas won that game, they ended up being declared the national champion. Pat Buchanan said at the time, that was a bad decision, especially if you want to carry Pennsylvania in 1972.
You know what? I guarantee there would have been ramifications from that. And the other thing, though, Nostradamus, I want to make clear to you, my last year playing was 67, so 68 and 69 team were all trained by me. So, you know, keep that in mind. Two national championship teams.
He brought them along.
Set them up for success.
That's right? Exactly right.
All right. I want to take a call because he has a question directed at me, it appears. Al, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Now that you found out that Obama is not behind the IRS scandal, are you willing to apologize?
Well, we don't know that for sure yet.
First of all, I never accused the president of being behind it. But if I did, I would have been speaking out of line because we had never had any proof of it. But nonetheless, what I did say, and I believe this still holds true, is that the president, his leadership style would lead to, I think, people who have this attitude acting on it. So maybe I'm trying to split hairs with you, but I don't believe I ever actually accused Barack Obama of actually ordering those things, but wondering if maybe he did. Does that answer your question? Does that satisfy you?
Don't make me pull the tapes, Chris.
All right, if you can go to our archive and you can find where I accused the president of that, then I will. I'll give him two kisses if he ever comes in the studio, not just one.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Al. Thanks for calling, buddy.
And God bless you.
Whole family.
Thank you for being out there and paying attention and hold my feet to the fire. I'll take it. And if I said that, well, maybe I do owe the fellow one.
Oh, come on. I've smelled your feet, Chris. Let's not get them near the fire.
All right, when we come back, we got more of Mike McBath. We got more of Nostra Dennis, and you too, if you want to join us, 407-774-8255. And I hope Al joins our American Adversaries Army. That'd be cool. All right, let's see if I can get it.
Welcome to the jungle.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. Remember, we will be here tomorrow night with a special Christmas Eve edition of the American Adversaries. And real quick, you know, if you want to make a $20 donation to Down Syndrome Association via jtccgives.org, you will get a raffle ticket, which may win you a $100,000-plus 1968 Corvette Stingray. Just go to jtccgives.org, make a $20 donation, and you are in the running for that. Speaking of in the running, Mike, before we go back to Nostra Dennis, you were in New York. You were telling me about recently about a story when you were in New York, and I believe Mayor Bloomberg came into the same room that you were in. I thought of it the other night. Did you see where old Dumb Blasio went to the hospital where one of the police officers was taken? And as he was walking down the hallway, all the police officers that were there turned their back on him. It reminded me of your story.
Love it. No, I was actually in Washington, D.C.
D.C., okay.
And I was up there for a player association situation, but the meeting had ended. And I'm down. There's a place called Cafe Milano, which a lot of the politicians go there. I don't know for what reason, but so I'm in there, and all of a sudden, I see a bunch of fellows come in, nicely dressed, younger guys with earphones on, and
security.
Security, which was quite obvious. And I knew what it was. So there's two good-looking guys are standing beside me. I said, "Hey, buddy," I said, "let me ask you a question. What are you doing here?" The guy goes, and he looks at me and says, "Well, we're Mayor Bloomberg's in, the restaurant here, and we're protecting him." I said, "Oh, I hope you're not using taxpayer money." Both of those guys started laughing. I said, "What a waste of money." And I mean, can you imagine the mayor of New York now who will ask for protection when he goes out the restaurants, et cetera, and the money that taxpayers pay, and then look at the gratitude he gives these, our NYD finest. Yeah. Just disgusting.
Yeah. Nostra Dennis, you used to live in New York. Your mom lives up there in Long Island. De Blasio, is his stock going down up there big time?
I don't know that it was ever that high. Probably, in my opinion, at least, the most liberal mayor New York has had since David, come let us reason together, Dinkin.
Ooh.
Well, Nostra Dennis, I think like in stock language, we would call him a failed new issue.
I would maybe call him a penny stock.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Boy, he's going to be a penny stock real soon.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Everything's based on futures, right?
Yeah, for real. Real quick, Nostra Dennis, we only have a minute or two left, but you've got the top 10 stories there, according to USA and Yahoo. Give us the top one or two from each one of those organizations, if you could.
Yeah, Katie Couric counted down for Yahoo the top 10 stories of the year, and they make sense. Number one, Ebola. Number two, the death of Robin Williams. Number three, the midterm elections.
All right.
But here, according to the USA Today, now they disclaimed this. They said, this isn't our list. This is a reader's list. It's a list of the stories you guys clicked on the most on the USA Today website. There is no Ebola. There is no gay marriage. There is no ISIS. There's no even the Olympics or marijuana or the Malaysian airline disasters. These are the top three stories, according to USA Today's readers. Number one, the grand jury decision about Officer Darren Wilson. Number two, Robin Williams. And number three, dirty tricks in Ukraine. I did not remember this story about leaflets distributed to Jewish residents in the Ukraine telling them to register with pro-Russian militants. that ring a bell to you at all?
I hadn't heard that one.
No, it hasn't. But
among the other top 10 stories by USA Today, including Coke putting people's names on the labels of their soda, and Kim Kardashian's internet photos. Those are more important than some of the other issues.
I would guess that the guy that put this list together is probably heavily depressed. That is the worst list I've ever heard.
And he's got a thing for Kim and her attributes.
All right, thanks a lot, Dr. Spence. We'll see you shortly. That's going to do it for us tonight, folks. Don't forget, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Please enlist in our American Adversaries Army. Be a part of what we're doing around here. And we really thank you for listening.
Hey, spend Christmas Eve with us tomorrow night. See you then.
Good night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.